I'm Trevor Smith, and I started about a year and a half ago a project called the Ogoglio Project, based on the idea that basically that we could apply the patterns of city planning and urban design to online spaces, and if we kind of spread the word of that and make people realize that, that we would actually get a critical mass together to basically have a dense populous place for people who wanted to do creative work together. And so I started the project by doing a big survey because I was sure that someone had built the technology that I needed. So I looked at a lot of projects, but I come from a web background, and so I was assuming that someone would have built a really great kind of metaverse technology that you could just kind of plug into the web and drop into web applications and using the patterns of web development, and it just didn't exist. So so what I did was I gathered together a few people, including Nick Ducheneau, who's a games researcher at Xerox PARC, which is now just called PARC, and Ian Smith, who's at Intel Research. He is a, he's a lot of things, but he's like an incredible developer and someone who just has a wider perspective on urban development. And so we came up with the idea of Ogoglio City. And so one of the places I was pointed early on was to the car-free city designs. This this guy basically had the premise that he wanted to make a reference design for a real physical city that used kind of human-scale spaces with no automobiles, using only mass transit and using transport to the city. And so you should check this book out. It's really amazing. It's basically it's a whole design for a city. The picture you're seeing now is one of the districts. In his design, there are around 40 districts. And so the idea is that anywhere within the city is reachable within 15 minutes using mass transit. Anywhere within the district is reachable within 5 minutes walking, and that you should have all the luxuries of modern life, including, you know, mass consumer goods and things like that. So this was his perspective. And so he came up with this reference design, and enough people told me to go look at it that I checked it out. And it's really interesting if you try to apply it to virtual spaces, because a lot of the same ideas of community and human scale urban design really apply, as I'm sure a lot of you know from working in other spaces, apply when you're thinking about how to build something that has the density of an urban space, like the space that we're in, New York City and Brooklyn. So from that point, I again thought that I should not build technology and I should go and find out what people are doing. So I looked around again and evaluated Second Life, and just basically found that there's something that doesn't work about Second Life, which is that it's a company town. It's owned by one company, it's managed by one company, and they have plans to change that, but it's, you know, who knows when. And so because of that, and because of the fact that they don't really embrace the web and kind of, they don't embrace web developers in the same way that you would if you started today, we started the Ogoglio platform. So there's the Ogoglio project, which has the broad goal of getting a urban scale space within 5 years with the population of New York City and a density comparable. And there are different metrics how you measure that. And so the design that we came up with was basically this. It can be represented in this graph. And so the idea is that the core unit is that you have an Ogoglio space. And these are things that can run on standard off-the-shelf web servers. So IT departments already know how to deploy these things. They're just kind of run-of-the-mill web servers that have a little bit of technology built into them that allow you to host Ogoglio spaces. And so these spaces are hosted all over the web. So they're not run by a single company or a single individual group, and they're interconnected through doorways. And so the idea is that if you are a web developer and you have an idea for how you can apply some sort of 3D aspect to your web app, you develop your web application in the same way, you apply some 3D aspect to it. If it grows and it gets interesting and you think it would be interesting to people outside of your community, then there is a kind of simple web-based API for hooking your space into the wider network of spaces. And so that is the high-level summary of the goals of the platform, is to provide that capability to anybody who wants it. It's open source and has a growing development community. There are three people working on it pretty much full time. There's about a dozen other people who are contributing here and there, including developers and 3D artists. And so I think that there's a story for the technology just with that alone, but the goal of the project, of course, is to create something a little more connected and dense than that. So the idea is that you would have these larger spaces, which we refer to as districts, which basically are collections of doorway endpoints in a single space, but they have basically facades that communicate back to the remote spaces. So the experience that a user would have is they would go into one of these districts and you would see all sorts of storefronts, small wooden doors, but they would all lead to other spaces controlled by other people. So you kind of have this building block aspect of widely distributed spaces that are then joined together in districts, which are then joined together hierarchically.
So would you say wooden door?
Yeah, I think oak is where I'm going with that.
Oak.
And so to get a little more concrete, because that's obviously very abstract, the user experience for Ogogleo Spaces is just, you open up a web browser, you go to a page, and there's a 3D space. And so here is the thing that everyone boots into their 3D space first, which is the OpenGL teapot. And so there's no big client to download like there is in Second Life or There.com or Multiverse. There's no separate thing you have to deal with. You're just in your web browser. The 3D view is within the context of a web page. So, for example, at the top where you see transmutable, that's just HTML, nothing exciting. And so the idea is that web developers really just kind of plug this in with the rest of their world without learning a lot of new languages or techniques. And so the idea is to kind of tap into the web developer community as opposed to the metaverse developer community, because the scales are just completely different. And so you can do all sorts of things with Ogogleo Spaces. I'll run a couple demos after these slides and then open it up for discussion, because it's kind of a huge topic. But so this is GIS data that you can pull in. This is a map of Iraq. Yep, thank you. Got the that's right, in fact. And so this is just satellite data I pulled off the web. It's elevation data I pulled off the web. Because it's open source and it uses existing standards, there's a huge community of 3D developers who can already develop for this platform. Half of the models that I use are off of TurboSquid, which is, it's just some completely other 3D community for people who make commercials and other sorts of animation. They have no idea about the metaverse. They work in the game world or the commercial animation world, but because they use an open standard, it can just kind of be ported into these spaces.
Can you import other like OBJ and stuff like that?
OBJ is the native format, in fact. But,
well, that's good news.
It's not X3D.
It is not X3D, no. X3D is huge. An OBJ parser is really tiny. And so the idea here was to follow web patterns, which, like simple text formats as opposed to complex XML formats. So Where there's an option, I would lean towards choosing the simplest means that will do the job. Our animation format is BVH, which is another open standard.
BVH?
BVH, BioVision. And the
is
same.
That's the Poser one, right?
It's the one that Poser emits, and other open source projects are also using it. So, for example, I'll show you a picture later. I imported avatars from the Open Croquet project. I talk to those guys a lot about trying to standardize on, you know, to get everybody in sync so that the projects that are working in this space can share media. But so in addition to being hosted on the web and accessed through the web browser, one of the interesting pieces of the project, the technical side of things, is that it's very easy to tap into web APIs. So the scripting language that you use to create 3D applications within the world is JavaScript. So web developers already know JavaScript. And there are really straightforward libraries to access things like, in this case, the picture. There's a Twitter widget that took about 50 lines of code. There's a Flickr widget, and then which pulls in images from Flickr and puts them onto a 3D surface. We do have HTML on a prim, and we have images on a prim, but that said, it's really simple HTML, so it's basically styled text and links, so it's not the grand vision of HTML on a prim that I hear people in Second Life talking about. Yeah, I would too. I decided to start simple and get something done. You know.
Jerk.
I'm sorry, that was snarky. Anyway,
No.
Boo.
Boo.
You shared
the
story.
I'm
minded
snobbery, Jesus Christ.
You got a master's degree from this?
Mm. So
where's your righteous indignation?
I went to Barcade. How can I have righteous indignation? Anyway, this is. Now we've moved on to the portion of random slides. So I'll just cover a few screenshots here and describe what's going on, and then I'm just going to open the floor, because obviously it's a really huge topic. I mean, there's like 100 directions that people want to go, and so I'm really focused on a very particular slice of it, and other people are working on things, but I'm going to go through what's going on right now with the project, and then I'm going to open the floor to questions. So. Again, on open standards, this is Proog. He was a model that they used in creating the open source movie called Elephant Dream. The Blender community got together, some crazy Dutch guys got together, and made a full CG movie using Blender, and they published their models and just to demonstrate that we tap into that community. This is an example of one of the models. We've got some fan art if you guys are Diesel Sweeties fans, but it's actually exciting to me that a lot of the SL community is learning to use Blender for sculpting, because Blender is an open source free editor that can emit the data type for 3D models that Ogoglio uses. So there's a free tool chain for anybody who wants to get started as an indie, but you know, also the $10,000 3D packages also emit this standard. This is another model. This is the if there's any Heroes fans. This is a model that was submitted with the from a statue from the TV show Heroes. Yeah, I know. So here are the avatars from the Open Croquet project. They're kind of strange looking. Okay, I think I'm just going to open up. You tell me, do you want to demo some spaces, or do you want...
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. I'm going to sit down for that.
We'd like to see what you think is interesting.
Oh,
I got a question while you demo space.
Okay.
How do you handle identity across spaces?
So there's a couple answers to that. Right now, there's a web API on the account system, and so if you give permission to a third-party app to access it, then they can get to it. I'm talking with different people about an OpenID extension. There are already a couple extensions for things like address book profiles and things like that. I'm trying to work with people on getting a very simple extension for avatar movement. But it's an open question. I don't think anybody really knows.
Maybe also an open question is inventory management.
Yeah. So if I have shit in my inventory, I might go across state to test that subject.
Yeah. It, again, it's one of those things. If you give the third-party application access to it, it's a standardized web API, and so they can build their application to suck them in. Third-party tools can do the same thing. But my approach right now is to make it as open and as extensible as possible and talk to all the people who are interested in working on these things. But it's a big rat hole, I think, for people to go down by themselves to try to solve this problem. And so I'm looking to the community for a lot of those kinds of answers. I forgot to mention, so I have a company called Transmutable. It's a space hosting company. We have contracts helping people to build spaces. And we funnel a lot of that money back into the development of the open source platform. And so the basic belief of the company is that this type of software is going to be commodity within a couple years. I mean, it's going to, you know, if you go to one of those cheap web hosting companies like Dreamhost, you get this big web control panel, you can install a PHP forum, you can install a web blog, and soon it's like going to be one of those things. You'll install a 3D space. It's just... It's going to be a commodity, and so
this kind of thing.
Being able to, you know, in the same way that you have web space, being able to have a virtual space, and how you connect that to people, obviously, is, you know, most PHP forums aren't read by anybody, and they aren't linked to anything. And I think that will also be true of most 3D spaces, but the popular ones will link to each other, you know, in the same way that there's a meta game for link roles. There'll be a meta game for how districts get populated by people with doorways to each other's spaces.
That's what I was wondering. Like, how does it get ordered in that district space? Like, is that constantly changing based on some other criteria? Like, it changes based on what you're looking for? Or it's populated in a way like people populate normal neighborhoods, and there's prime districts, and then also people want to be off on... off the dark alleyway or whatever, and it's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at a core level, somebody owns the space, which is the district, right? And whether that's my company or some random company that downloaded the server, which they can do today.
Be up to them to determine the criteria for...
Yeah, they could have it automatically move around based on population, you know, like how much interest it showed. They could have it be static based on how much, you know, people were shelling out per month. So
right.
there's a variety of ways, and basically the market and the community decide.
Oh, the market.
Yeah.
Market.
That's right.
Go. Oh, never mind.
My friend. Okay. So let's start with the simplest case. And so, again, all of these models... Well, let's do this. So I'm just going to make sure I don't seem to actually have much of a connection, which is going to make demoing these spaces a little hard. Which are you?
What sort of bandwidth type do you need for this?
Jerry.
Jerry.
Oh, let's see. Are you plugged in?
No, you don't have wireless?
What have you been using for the connection on that machine?
There's
even a cable plugged in, so it should
have
to...
Just use channel the Orgone energy. You brought your helmet.
Where?
I don't
see an Ethernet cable. Is there one?
I don't see one either.
Here's the rescue.
Help. This is the kind of thing that should have happened earlier, I realize. Oh, okay.
Well, this thing is numb, so I'm
not going to
go
up to
the
calories. Jerry, do you have a wireless router in there?
Yes.
What is it called?
Frost.
Frost?
Yeah.
And what is your team?
Christian Chesworth. It's dead beef.
What did I try?
It won't be that tomorrow.
Okay. Let's try the Iraq example first, just to make sure we're on. Okay, so this is the live site. If anybody's particularly interested in a development account on a beta UI, let me know after the show. So this is the Iraq model. I'm in Firefox. I just went to a page. Boom! I'm walking around.
Where are the explosions?
Unfortunately, I haven't scripted the explosions.
Does this have a level of detail thing?
It's only in Arachnid.
It does. Yeah, there's three default levels, but it's changeable. Yeah, it doesn't do MIP mapping yet, but that's on the way if you care about that sort of thing. Let's see here. So I'll start off with this space. I built this space out so occasionally it's helpful to get together with people in space and talk about building stuff. So as you can see, there's a little chat window. Let's see if...
can you go suddenly to your avatar?
No, there actually is an avatar render. It's hard-coded right now to be turned off, but there... if no one else is online, I'll actually bring up another. I'll bring it up. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys know the Hursley time frame, but they came up with this kind of neat idea. This is a clock that shows your time in Unix time. You stand in front of it, you take a picture. You know what time it is because for some reason they don't think images have timestamps. Anyway, here's a little animated thing. This is a model that was created after I found out about, there's a skyscraper in Dubai, I don't know if you've heard about this, which actually has, it's a design, but it actually has moving floors. And so it's 38 stories tall, this is a real design, they really are seriously thinking about building with a moving skyscraper. It just blew my mind.
They have way too much money to spend, you know? There's got to be some charities out there.
In New York City, we have the Freedom Tower. And look what they're doing.
Yeah, really.
We got to
make it.
And so, the Freedom Tower is a joke.
So, the way this space was created was people went into Blender or whatever the the modeler was. They created a model. They got it looking nice in whatever tool that they wanted to. They output it into a standard file format, and then through the web UI, it's just like writing a blog in a lot of ways. You just go to a web page, there's a form, you upload files, you type in scripts, you hit submit, and then it updates your space. So it's basically nothing...
and then you place it within it as you see fit, or you have to write that?
Yeah, you can place it within, there's a little pop-up that has, you know, move X, move Y, move to this position sort of thing. And so... one of the design kind of approaches is that we move everything except 3D viewing into the web UI. So all of the account management, all of the web kind of space management sort of things, like setting permissions and memberships and things like that, it's all done through the web UI. And the only thing that the kind of custom viewer does is show 3D. And so because of that, it's really tiny. So to give you some context, for Max, when I look at the size, of Second Life, it's 170 megs on disk, about 60 of which is actually in active use when you launch the app. The Ogoglio viewer is less than 500K. It's tiny. So you...
Wait.
I downloaded it.
Go back, I missed that.
Second Life is 30 megs? 130.
It's... When you blow it out onto disk, I think the downloads for Max is like 45 to 60.
Well, I mean,
and then
are you counting the image cache?
I'm talking about like when you look at secondlife.app and you just figure out what its file size is, it's 170 megs. And so when I went to that space, because this was a fresh session, I downloaded that viewer. You saw it happen. Like that was the whole installation process. You saw it happen, and it's not noticeable. It's tiny. And so...
but that would be a plug-in to your browser.
It's on Mac OS X, actually, no. Mac OS X ships with all the software that you need. It ships with Java and Java 3D. On XP and Vista, it's an 8-megabyte download. They rev that about once a year. So once a year, you would have to spend the time to download something that's 8 megs and run the installer. And then after that, it just acts like a web page. And so every time there's a new version of the viewer, you just download the 500K viewer.
So
and you know, that's a couple seconds.
So you're sacrificing the standard viewer for everything. In place of efficiency of what you do with the
view. Yeah, I'm pushing all of the stuff I'm pushing everything except 3D view out into the web UI. So all of the kind of build tools and account management tools and search and inventory and all that stuff, like you do it through the web UI. And so
that can be widgetified or whatnot.
How do people
collaborate
and
co-build?
Yeah, inside the space, you can set spaces to have different permissions. So there's a couple kinds of value that I think you're talking about. There's the seeing what someone else is working on, so it's kind of progressively moving. So if I'm working in a space, it's live. If I upload a new object and I tell it to go live, other people see that change. And they can give me feedback and they can tell me what's going on. So these spaces aren't edited offline and then pushed up in mass. The individual pieces are edited offline and then pushed up. And the space as a whole is live. I don't know if that's... So the co-editing was one of the things I really wanted to support because it's so powerful within Second Life. And so, so if I'm working on a model, I tweak the color on something and then I upload it. Other people can see those changes immediately and give me feedback. And
you upload like a file transfer protocol then? Or how does it kind of load?
Well, upload is post. It's HTTP. So,
okay.
It's as web as it gets, pretty much.
By feedback, you mean like boo?
Boo! Basically, mostly. Because I'm a terrible 3D editor. I'm actually hiring artists so that I won't embarrass myself.
Do you plan on making it even more, like actually giving an option to have it, like, I hate to use a Second Life adage, but in the world of building tool, all the usability studies I've ever seen with the web is the few clicks as possible, the better. And so if you're talking about an upload process that's, okay, let me go to this web page, that's one click, and let me select the file, okay, maybe it's in the directory, so it's two or three more clicks, and then it's upload, and then it's, even if it's delaying only 3 seconds to refresh the page, and in world tool will be like, okay, red, green,
yes,
blue.
Exactly. There's a couple answers to that. Because the focus is on initial experience, the viewer itself is not going to have many, it's just the design of it is not going to have many in-world editing tools kind of built into the 3D view. That said, it kind of merges with the rest of the space. It's scriptable, DOM addressable if you build web pages. And so it is would be kind of straightforward for someone to build around the viewer things that reacted to things like clicking on a 3D object and then showing you the dialogue for color changes.
So
and
in
then
other words, you expect at some point, almost an in-world stripped down 3D Studio Max or whatnot interface inside almost to be like a plug-in?
No, I think it would be a web app, basically. The only part that's kind of would be a plug-in on XP and just standard
A plug-in to the web app.
It would be a drop-in piece of the web app, which would give you really kind of comprehensive editing tools. And so that I can show you what...
You have an ugly MySpace page, and you drop in a, music changer or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's... I'll show you an interesting demo.
What drafting skill is required to you? Why aren't there more ugly MySpace pages?
Yeah. I think there are enough ugly MySpace pages. So this is like a really simple editor. Those things. But to get to your question about embedding, let me show you. I don't know if you guys use iGoogle, which is the worst name ever, but they allow you to put in kind of custom widgets. And so if this actually connects. Oh, yeah. So I built a little iGoogle widget. Here's a Google page. It's served by Google, and it connects to an Ogoglia space.
As a developer who's we're not married to Second Life by any means.
Uh-huh.
One of the real big powers of Second Life is it's you sort of realize that text and HTML and flat web is the legacy app that's to be reverse compatible, not vice versa.
Yeah, I disagree. Actually, I think for the next decade or two, we're going to have a 2D browser experience. And we'll mix in that metaverse experience.
Well, I think what would be most valuable is if both could be true at the same time, where you could embed like this, and I think that's very valuable, especially if you just have like a flat web page, and here's an example of this, like a news site that says, here, check out this model.
Mm-hmm.
But what would also be very valuable is the reverse, where you have the immersive experience, which is extremely attention-grabbing and very valuable in its own right, and be able to create universal plugins that would be just software that like installing like a blogging software into a website. or whatnot, where...
So it's like you have a web app and you drop in kind of...
Because then there's a whole market for... That opens up a whole market up for creation of these apps that are valuable for people. It creates a whole market of people being able to create more apps to open the market past web developers. Because to me, looking at the web, I mean, I look at MySpace, I look at YouTube, I look at a lot of the really successful big sites now, and the emphasis is on removing the web developer from it.
No, I agree. And I don't want to give anybody the impression that I expect that everyone's going to edit HTML and create their own web app and then drop in 3D stuff. It's basically the recognition that there is a huge development community that is producing these end-user applications for people. Someone had to write Twitter, which isn't a good example, I realize, but you know, someone had to write MySpace. And so as far as the technology side of the Ogoglio platform, that's who should be interested in the kinds of things I'm talking about today. As far as the end-user experience, they should never have to think about it, right? I mean, Right. And again, you know, the goal of the project is not to create the Ogoglio platform. The Ogoglio platform is something we're doing on the way to an end user application, which is for creative work within an urban scale space. And so,
but how do you make the step for that? I mean, the revolution in Second Life was that people could learn from each other, people who knew nothing, and create absolutely awesome worlds. I mean, have you thought through where that step takes place?
Yeah, well, I think it's like it's patterned like the web. There are web communities around Flickr. You know, there are groups of people who, together on Flickr, follow each other's photo streams, annotate each other's photos, make comments. And so one of the core patterns of the web is partition, which is there isn't one community. There are many different niches, and sometimes they interact, and increasingly so as people open up their APIs. But definitely, you know, part of the kind of core story is that definitely I, and not my company, control the communities. I mean, they're kind of assembled by people who are interested, whether that be web developers or people who are enabled by tools made by web developers.
So you see, I mean, I have a sense of a very different idea, like a YouTube where you don't have many skills and you're just going to have a funky little rough space. If you have lots of skills and you're developers, it's going to look like MVC. But I think it is, I mean, for Second Life, what the miracle was they created a world where everyone could look like MVC or better.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not room for another thing.
I think it's actually. I agree. That was the miracle, and I respect what they've done, and I use Second Life all the time. So it's definitely not like I.
But you're not heading for that. Cause it's a different
not
place.
Where I'm headed. No.
There's some definite advantages with for architectural community to various drafting how this interacts with the internet. There are a number of great uses. No, this is not Second Life, but. I can see that the technologies are definitely have a use. Will companies be able to use such a light software, being able to present this on the web? I think it's a great tool. I can see a user community developing with it. I'm wondering, it's like how much drafting skill it takes to work with this. VRML years ago died a very quick death.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I have a couple answers to that. Which
Rot
is
comment.
Yeah. I actually worked on a VRML project during the death period, so I've experienced that quite clearly. But I have a couple answers to that. One, which is that. One of the things that you can do as a web developer is you can figure out what kind of editing your users want to do. So if they want to do placement of furniture in a house, they can do like they did for the IKEA. I don't know if you've been to IKEA, but at the IKEA website, you go, there's a flash thing that comes up, it shows you a floor plan, you pull in models, you arrange your furniture, and then you just hit buy now, right? So it's a kind of the same thing where web developers can put together niche editors, and because the core of the platform is completely, you know, everything has a URL, everything has a web API, they can bridge to that in the same way that they bridge to their back-end billing system. When you hit buy now, it could be, you know, publish my space so I can walk around with it in Ogoglio. You know, it's the same kind of thing. So that's one answer to your question. And the other answer is that by using standard formats, I tap into a huge existing community, like I said, of people who already build things you can go and buy and download to put in these spaces. So somebody give me a search term for a model that they want.
Dinosaur.
Okay. What kind of dinosaur do you want? You know, I mean, there's the T-Rex. You know, so this is a website. These are 3D animators and builders who just they build it, they put it up on the web, they put a price tag on it.
Free. That's a good price.
Free is a good price. You can sort by cost, and so the idea, right? And so this is why I just use standard formats, is because I don't want to build out I don't want to invent a community of people who have to learn all new tools to create something that other people already know how to create, that they went to school for 5 years to learn how to create really beautiful versions of things, and so this is it.
Yeah, I don't throw out that.
That's crack hot idea.
I don't throw out that. It's lame, I know.
I like the simplest
idea. Yeah, I agree. And SketchUp exports out.
What about like a work collaboration space, streaming video? I saw your YouTube screencast on slide presentation.
So right now, the only kind of media import into spaces is, like I said, it's like simple HTML and static images. That said, you can build a web page that has YouTube sitting right next to a 3D space. And so one of the companies I'm working with doesn't think that's good enough, so they're working on a plugin, but I don't know if they're going to open it. You know, there's some kind of thing there. But basically, if the community thinks it's interesting enough, then we can figure out a way that either people volunteer their time or we can figure out a way to pay for it. It's an open platform. You can build plugins for different media types.
I need to still ask this question again. How much drafting skill does it take to build?
You just said you go to college for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
45 to 90.
Yeah. Well, it depends. If you want to make a box and put it on your head, it's about as hard as it is in Second Life. I mean, you know, when you boot up Blender, it starts with a box. You just save as and then upload.
Okay.
So that you can get started box on head kind of stuff in 5 minutes.
That's Devo. They already did that.
I'm sorry. I got a personal question.
Who is being made? It's gonna be.
Well, the question is whether or not people will make 3D editors for indie users. I think it's happening now. I mean, I think people are looking at Second Life, they're looking at the ability, they're looking at people's ability to create these things. Someone's going to create simple 3D editors. There's already one called Wing 3D, which is kind of easier than Blender.
I think what's most
having
interesting.
Having it as a plug-in in your software, I think,
yeah.
Is really like one of the keys that makes it very attractive to developers like my company, like Electric Sheep, like others,
right.
Who've seen the value of community space with the editor built in.
Yeah. And one way to approach it, which we're not doing right now, but which, you know, there's a lot of feedback, it would be interesting to pursue, which is that the default viewer that everyone, you know, the random people going through the web, is the 500K small thing. But the same technology that lets you render 3D in a simple viewer, you could see building tools around it in an applet that throws it. So it's not on our path because the clients I'm working with right now don't want it. And,
why not look at like the Firefox model where, you know, you look at it as a base browser and you add in, you know, the different plugins. You know, it seems to me what lacks in Second Life is that sort of dumbed down browser for the user. And
well, the short answer for that is that the source repository is there today, and I'm the code wrangler. So if someone wants to make a contribution or get help getting started making this, I mean, you know, I write documentation as it comes along.
Have you talked to any of the lib Second Life people?
I've talked to Baba. I don't know if that counts.
Baba's talked to everybody.
Yeah, I don't. Baba and I have talked to
Baba.
Talk to a taco folk
for one.
Okay.
He's the current we'll
exchange afterwards.
I'll just throw in, like, what I think is really interesting is, like, the architecture of, like, the real-life space, like, these districts.
Yeah.
Like, and that leaving that up to, I don't know, there's such an incredible architecture, because that's really the where the rubber hits the road for most people.
Completely.
They bump into this thing and they're like, and right. you end up in this architecture. And just letting it be determined by whoever is one thing, but like the capabilities to like have layering for to account for time passage and like dormant sites or places that choose to exist in older technologies and archives and whatnot, and have this layered. I'm thinking about down to underground Atlanta in some way,
okay.
but also 19th century Paris and the arcades, and like this sort of layering and this depth and complexity to the architecture of a city.
So
is what's really, really the most exciting thing about human.
That no one went to with all the sink below the sea level. And stuff.
Yeah, it's just that sort of depth and growth and that organic kind of changing, which makes you know human existence in real space like really adventuresome and exciting. That sense of discovery, that sense of like non-prescriptive exploratory or play, and. That's what's really exciting to me, because like all the other stuff, it seems like you've set it up so that like you've set up a really simple kernel of the machine that it allows like a lot of people to come in and add their tools and do this sort of thing. But what's really interesting to most everybody is like what it ends up feeling like, and if it approximates that sense of like excitement. And
yeah,
like non-prescribed, non-commercially, like.
I agree, and I got into this because I have all sorts of ideas about district planning.
Yeah.
So I, you know,
that's
you
know, what's
I
really
and the people
cool.
I'm working with definitely have plans for districts. But I guess the key is that we also believe that there's not one way to do these things.
Right.
The
do you have an example of like two spaces linked?
Nope. It's we're a. There actually is door code in there, but I don't use it because it's like it's
you know,
a short
it's
answer.
That when Verlin was a flower, AT&T created a portal-like structure that did the same thing in
yeah.
Verlin.
What was the name?
Yeah, space, right.
Co-space.
Co-space.
Co-space? Tom?
I know
who Tom is.
Because it might be interesting. If he's
you know,
sponsored
like,
I would love to talk to him.
Also, like, there was a...
I love talking to these guys. Things I vaguely remember from you know 5 years ago. But I love talking to these guys. So definitely, my standard question is what was cool and what's there now. You know, and give me links and let me explore.
Is there an embedded scripting language yet?
Yeah, one of the wonderful things about being an open source project is I can use open source tools. There's a great, the Mozilla project, which everything else that they wrote when they were Netscape is not so great, but they wrote a really great Java-based JavaScript interpreter. So it's called Rhino. It's actually going to ship in 1.6 Java, so it's got a lifespan on it. People are supporting it. But so there's just a... You can either.
How
you actually script something. You go to your inventory, which. All sorts of pauses. You go to your inventory, you pick something like. Let's see something that has. Oh, yeah, so here's a simple script. You hit edit, there's a text area. You can also write it. I have a bash script which uses curl. I know this is a little bit, it's just HTTP post, right? It's just an HTML form. So all of the tools that you can apply to HTML forms, you can apply to this. So if you want to, I'm trying to find a Blender. If anybody knows a Blender wizard, I would love to pay them to write me a script for just export to Ogoglio in Blender. So anybody knows anybody?
Is there some API that every object exposes, like move me?
Yeah, it's a RESTful API, if you know what that is. And so every first level entity within the space has a URL, post, get, put, delete. Those are them, you know. I really tried to invent as little as possible for this.
Quick
question about croquet, because you said you talked to them a lot. My understanding, and I've just played with it a little bit, and basically the idea is actually that you do everything inside, you blog inside, you, I mean, like you were saying.
Yeah, they're fully immersive.
Yeah,
an operating system.
Yeah, exactly.
Program.
So
yeah.
What?
They're aggressively immersive.
Aggressive, I mean, exactly. So
yeah.
It's like, I was interested that you. What's the connection between your project and project?
We just we both use a lot of the same standards. So the 3D geometry that they use, the file standard, the transfer standard.
Would you ever ask why small talk?
That's a religious discussion which I try to avoid with people.
But you could probably do a lot of that in a Google too. Like you could probably make a Twitter app where you Twitter from within inside space, right?
Yes. I mean, yeah, right. It's not just pull, it's push. So if you ever use it's E4J that is the XML library that you use, so it's any of the Flash authors who have written anything that deals with XML know how to use that already.
The cool is I think you hooked this up with Ning.
With Ning, the
make your own social network.
It's making
your own. Oh, the roll your own mashup kind of social network thing. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I think that between the two of them,
yeah, that would be interesting.
It would be mega fun.
Yeah. The problem with this project for me is actually having too many directions in which to. So I have to really.
So what's your next target? What's your next step?
There are some basic pieces that are missing. This is where I reveal the warts. The avatar system, which you haven't seen because it's completely ugly. It's in. Oh yeah, there's video online. You can go and see my warts. But there's just some core pieces of the technology that aren't crucial to the new ideas, but they're not black magic to fill out. And so I'm hiring developers to do things to kind of fill in the rest of the things that everyone just needs. The avatar system being one of them, links to other editors like Blender, for example. You know, there's just some kind of core pieces. So over the next 6 months or so, those pieces will come online if I can find the people to contract people to work on them from great companies. Then those kinds of things. But you can go and there's a snapshot of the server today. You can go and download it tonight and boot up your own Ogoglio space, and it looks like this.
What are the other platforms and projects that you look at and that you either like inspire you or that you talk to or who you think of as competitors? So you talk about the croquet, and then there's like Muppet, an open source universe project, Universe, and things like this. But what are the most interesting ones that you think have people who are really actively developing for them?
Oh, the croquet guys are brilliant. So
and you're more like a croquet quack then. I mean, you're doing projects for clients and stuff, and croquet is like the open source project, and then quack is the for profit.
Yeah. So the equivalents would be the Ogoglio project would be like Open Croquet, and Transmutable would kind of be like Quack. Quack has a different approach to it. But
can someone write like a, Second Life client with an open source? And they can write a plugin that displays Ogoglio space inside Second Life.
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if
this is
the
thought.
I did write it.
I just think about the opposite one, which is that you have Second Life connects to the grid and display that.
No, really. At all.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's not OpenGL, so you have to do some other magic.
Freaking out.
It is OpenGL. So
but Second Life doesn't. What Second Life doesn't pop out of OpenGL.
Yeah.
So like, you need a frame, but then you have to.
There are all kinds of mind-bending things where your cell phone's connected to Second Life, which is something called Ogoglio space, which has an open croquet backend, which is, it gets really crazy. But to answer your question about, the open croquet project, I actually don't think I'm competing with either Second Life or open croquet in some ways, because, like I said, there's just, this really different magnitude in terms of, to give you some perspective, the avatar face in Second Life is bigger than the entire client download for Ogoglio. The face alone is bigger than the Ogoglio client. I mean, there's just some order of magnitude of difference between what you're working with in terms of the quality of the data in Second Life, the experience, how long it takes to load it and maintain it, to download it again.
You can download an avatar face in Ogoglio that would be like,
what about Moore's Law?
You could, but you just wouldn't want to because it's a web page, right?
But what about Moore's Law?
Yes.
I mean,
Moore's Law exists.
No, no, but I mean, you're aiming for something that's quicker, but, technology presses on. People are going to want the more advanced.
Yeah, and as technology gets bigger, Second Life will get bigger. And I'm just choosing a different niche than Second Life fits in. As computers get bigger, when there's four orders of magnitude difference in what computers can do, a few years from now versus today. Second Life will take all of those resources. I mean, like, they don't do cutting edge graphics, but they do, you know, they pick their niche of what level of support they want to do and what the experience is like. And I don't know what Linden Lab's working on, and I've actually stopped looking because it's so confusing, but I think they kind of picked their path, and they have a lot of momentum that it would be hard to move from. But you guys probably know a lot more about what they're thinking than I do.
And what about, like, all the RIA stuff, like Silverlight, Apollo Flex, and Studio, and those types of 3D environments, photos, and all these kind of competing, not virtual world, but in a video base.
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to build WordPress for creating 3D worlds, or are you trying to create standards for browser based? What are you trying to create?
I'm trying to create an urban scale city for creative work on the size of New York. That's what I'm trying to create. The technology platform right now is basically oriented to tap into a huge development community, which is the web community, and to be as just seamless to people who already use the web as is possible. Like, those are the two core pieces of the technology.
VRML, though?
Yep, and they started in a different time and they chose different technologies.
Okay,
there are a lot of the same things, but it's a different world.
So in 5 years, your platform is going to use new technology, I would imagine.
Certainly,
so
the other part of the question.
Do you have any ideological difference between, say, your platform and either VRML or the X3D standard or ActiveWorks?
Yes, which is that I use the REST patterns, which is, you know, I use the Web 2.0 patterns. So it's restful, it's designed to work with the existing and migrate with the Web 2.0. And VRML is this kind of monolithic scene transfer protocol. Like, that is its core, that's where they're focused, and it's huge. Like, to write a VRML parser, you're already looking at something that is orders of magnitude bigger than the Ogoglio viewer. It's massive.
Sure. Isn't the core of Web 2.0 allowing anybody to publish their own stuff? And that's
exactly
the opposite of only tapping into the web developers?
It's like a JPEG library, right? That's like saying, well, people can't use images because they can't program to a JPEG library.
People can't. That's why MySpace exists.
I know, exactly.
MySpace wouldn't be the most popular website in the
world. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
The API for people to write scripts and upload files and work with Blender, that's not everybody. Someone's going to figure out how to layer whatever the MySpace equivalent is on top of it.
The absolute value of your platform is making the best API that you can and focusing on bringing in middleware developers to come up with the interesting tools to use it, because
it's why it's open source, which is why I'm doing talks like this, to try to attract people like you who know answers like that. I agree with you. I guess, you know, I've covered everything I can. Is there any questions or any things I didn't talk about? You want to talk about what Jane Jacobs' avatar would look like in Second Life? Which we realized today? Would she even be in Second Life? What was she thinking? That's always the ending conversation. I am so easy to find on the web, and I love it when people ask questions.
And
you're
from Seattle.
And what am I doing here?
Oh, yeah.
Here. I'm visiting, and I'm talking to
you. Mind if I hand over the internet connection to Valerie here? Do you need this anymore right now?
I don't need it.
Okay.
You can have it.
Could you give
a second Wi-Fi ID? Trevor Steptoe.
He visited the store.
If you Google Trevor Steptoe, you'll find my stuff, all my stuff. Okay.
I want to send you that stuff on the AT&T.
You know, it's like ringing some bell.
I don't feel passionate.
I'm over there.
Slow Goglia.
Yeah, I want
Slow Goglia. It's like 50 megs, but it takes an hour to download.
Okay, we've made it user-friendly, but our architecture is kind of like, well, we're going to be in for a nightmare when we open source this.
It's already open source.
No, just the client is open source, not the server.
Everything is open source. I'm not building any
proprietary. No,
Second Life. Oh, Second Life, yeah.
And
that's
you guys
the mind think about.
And you guys are coming from the opposite side saying, okay, we have a great architecture, but we need an app server.
Yeah.
We've met earlier, I don't have a card on there.
Okay.
Can
I give you a card and write your name?
I'd love to be on the
I will acknowledge.
There's probably going to be four of us at least from our company.
I think what I hear from you, right, and which I think I agree with, is that this is not what the public should be.
Right.
Like, I'm 100% with you, and so my approach so far has been to try to attract people who can look at that and go, oh God, you know what they need? Is a blah.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's you.
Well, honestly,
even if what you tell me is you need a blah and I have no intention of writing it, I want to know what the blah is.
Second Life Hero Pendragon. Ron, let me make sure that's an O, not a D. Ron at infinitevisionmedia.com. You can check out our site.
Yep.
There.
Okay.
I'm sort of the chief geek of the company.
Cool. I will check it out.
I'm
with you. And if it, like, as a developer, you know, like, whenever you're working on something, your brain is just making these branches off to what you could put on top of it, right? I mean, it's just this really hard to pick up the path, and so, you know, I'm building a company, I'm recruiting people, like all these things, and I have to shut down some avenues of development just because it's hard. So,
well, what Jerry said nailed it on the head. Jerry, do you know what you said that nailed it on the head? Do you know what he said? He said it's pushing the operating system. And, and really, what the key is.
I worked on an OS for a couple of years.
It's all being the cloud, man.
Yeah. Amazon. They run the name.
Well, the trick is interface. Ultimately speaking, when you're talking commerce and interaction, the basic need required to sell it. It's all about what interface is most suitable for your audience. So an operating system is supposedly that. It's supposed to be a transparent file. It's like supposed to be like, you know, the usher at the movie. You're not supposed to know this.
Back to drivers that get out of
right. So to me, the architecture is a necessity, you know, but it's a necessity. I mean, VRML would have scaled perfectly well, but, you know, there were no video cards at the time, there was no broadband.
I would not want to try this project.
And according to some of the more bitter people on the VRML,
as
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you for holding the fan. I'm so grateful to you. You just don't know.
That was out of control.
I didn't really like. I should have.
I should say, I know that everybody, and have really,
you guys can hang out as long as you want, but that's
easy.
form of program groups.
Just the portal.
I don't think that's the final answer.